Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. This evening we have the pleasure of having with us Marie, who is an active person in our Sangha and also someone who does quite a bit of work for the organization along the lines of making things beautiful, a lot of the stuff that people see that come out from the organization. Marie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Dave. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Good. I understand
that.
Yeah, good. Me too. I understand that this evening you're going to talk to us a little bit about the Living Compassion website and maybe share some of the hidden treasures that are there that people might not know about.
Yeah. I'm very excited about doing that. When I was invited, I've started to look at the website, through those eyes, and there's so many things on there. So I'm going to try to share some of the favorites and kind of take us on a tour of the site.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's an incredible resource. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are aware. At this point, huge amounts of information and all kinds of support for practice just right there in the website.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So I thought I would start by just sort of going through the menus
okay.
and highlighting a few things. I'm
going
to try not to get carried away.
All right.
And so to start with, the first thing is when you log into the website, it automatically takes you to our What's New page now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great page just to see anything new that's happening and see what we're kind of, what we want to highlight right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and there's all kinds of stuff on there. There's information about the email class coming up, about the Africa Project, Africa gift cards, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we usually have the latest on the Africa Project and some practice things that are going on. And one thing that's on there now that's really interesting is there are some new iPhone apps available.
Oh.
One is Open Air, which I use it every week to listen to Open Air. It's fabulous.
I do too, actually. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and there's another one for Transform Your Life. So those are kind of new. So they're on the What's New page. And then it also always has what we call a widget from Facebook, from the Africa Project pages on Facebook. And so that's a really great thing because that is updated every 2 or 3 days. And so it's a way to really keep up with the Africa Project.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's neat. Yeah, I can see it right here. There's something about the co-op buying some big cooking stuff, looks like, for the wintertime. Oh, no, it's for winter.
Yeah,
one of the guys who works there. Interesting.
Right. And so that's often updated. That is updated regularly. And so when there's a new blog posting, it's often mentioned here. And so it's a great way to keep up with that. And so I wanted to kind of look at the Living Compassion, just look down the menu. And one thing early on the menu, Dave, is the Living Compassion blogs.
Uh-huh.
And if you hover over that, there's an extension, and you can see all the blogs that we have, which are quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the Africa Project updates, and I might mention that there will be an update soon to the Africa Trip blog because the monks are there in Zambia.
We have a team there right now. And so very soon, they'll probably have already started writing them, and they'll be coming our way soon to show up on this blog page.
Right, and we've got a little reminder plan to send out as soon as the first one gets posted.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Sherry's Practice blog, which is on blogger.com.
Not to be missed.
It's an easy way to find that. And there's the fundraising blog. And one blog that people may not be very familiar with is the Living and Dying blog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. It's a person associated with the Sangha who is dealing with a potentially life-threatening illness. And I think Sherry asked that person, to write about it, in a practice framework. So that's a really great, it's a great support for practice for anyone.
It is. I read that blog regularly, and it's fantastic. Really, that's a good way to describe all these blogs probably are supports for practice. I'm looking here's another one I don't know if people know much about is Muyunda's blog. Muyunda is a fellow in Africa who's kind of his he's kind of our reporter. We put that in quotes a little bit, but he is running around taking pictures of what's going on and sending them in regularly, and then they go up on the blog. So it's even when we're not there, we have live photos and information coming from Africa, and they show up here on Moyunda's blog.
Right, David. I have to say that is by far my favorite thing on the website right now. And I love to read his reports because it's just like being right there in Cantalumba, you
it
know,
really
seeing
is.
It through his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Even the language, it takes you right to Africa, the language that he uses.
Yeah, and, you know, I get to see the kids and the day-to-day things, like this one was sick or this, you know, just kind of what's going on with people there. It's really
mm-hmm.
fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then there's also the Open Air podcast blog, so that's where you can go and listen to the archives of the show.
Oh, okay, that's handy.
And then the Voices Cartoon blog. If you don't already subscribe to the Voices Cartoon, I would highly recommend going to that blog and taking a peek.
Yeah, that's your next
maybe,
move. Mm-hmm. If you don't subscribe, it's something that needs to be a part of your practice repertoire, I think.
Yeah, and you'll probably want to subscribe after you see them. So there's a little subscription box on that page when
mm-hmm.
you click on the blog.
Yeah, and all of these are free practice supports available to anybody who wants to just log into the website. It takes you, in my experience,
yeah.
it takes you right to an experience of practice in these different forms.
Right, absolutely, Dave. Absolutely. I can't think of anything better to be looking at on the Internet.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And so just let's see, to kind of run through some of the other things. There's a couple of pages that are really neat, an invitation to participate. And if you're new, both of those, if you click on them, they just have a listing of all kinds of ways to participate.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's a really good place just to get a sense of that.
Mm-hmm. So if you're new to the practice and you just kind of want to get a sense of what goes on, that might be a good place to start. It looks like there's links from this page to all kinds of other places on the website.
Right, right. And even if you're not new, there's
mm-hmm.
probably things you haven't found out about yet.
Good point. Uh-huh.
There's a lot listed on those pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our retreat and workshop schedule. So that's always up to date. So it's always a good place to go and check and see what events are out there,
mm-hmm.
Know what's happening. And let's see, what else? There's a lot. One thing that also is interesting is the monthly donor program. There's a link for that tells people how to get involved in the monthly donor program if they'd like to,
well,
and kind
good.
Of list some of the benefits of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's something that really we started it maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, and that's something that really supports our practice, and people are supported in their practice who participate in that. So it's really a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, there's lots of little perks we get for things we would like to sign up for, that kind of thing. So it's really nice.
Mm-hmm. So what I see here, Marie, is really a sort of an endless opportunity to be involved, even no matter where someone might be. You know, I was thinking like even just something, it's one thing, like the Africa blogs, you know, they go back for years at this point. And so, you know, you can see the photos and see what's going on in Africa. Tons of information there. And pretty much wherever you go on the website, there's an experience of practice waiting for you, it seems like.
Right, right. That's really true, Dave. That's my experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe we'll look around a little more. Then there's the Zen Monastery Peace Center menu.
Ah, okay.
And lots of great things on there. I wanted to highlight, there's lots about ways to, you know, practice opportunities, ways to participate.
So, and some actual programs on here, like Reflective Listening Buddies is on here. You can find out if there's a meditation or discussion group in your area.
Right, right. Find out about fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And the Voices Cartoon series is on this menu because the Voices Cartoons are very strong support for practice. And we have the Little Monk Stories. That's something a lot of people may not know about. And someone in the Sangha who is quite talented wrote these stories about these monks. And I think some of the stories are true.
I think, yeah, they all are, I believe.
Yeah, and so they're great for young and old alike. And there's even one in there that has some explanation. It tells a little about the frogs in the courtyard.
Mm-hmm. They're written like children's stories, sort of, and have very beautiful illustrations. But like you say, for grown-up children as well as, you know, children in little bodies.
That's right. That's right. And then there's some virtual tours on the website. And there's an actual virtual tour of the monastery. So you can see the grounds. If you've never been there, it's a great place to just come and see what it looks like.
Yeah, some really fun pictures.
And there's some pictures of a building retreat. You can see everybody at work building some of the buildings that now exist on the property.
Wow, and so each one of these is a... Each one of these is a window into another aspect of the monastery, each one of these tours.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you can just click on it and click through the scenes, and there's a well replacement tour that shows how the well was replaced.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And then one of my favorites is a snow tour. So there was a beautiful snow at the monastery, and somebody was able to go around and take lots of nice photos and illustrate, you know, have the descriptions with them, so that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Marie, I notice we're starting to run out of time. Anything else kind of in general you want folks to know about the website as they explore it for themselves?
Well, there's the Africa pages, which are absolutely wonderful. Every page in the Africa section is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Peace Practices has some wonderful things around peace. And then great products under Keep It Simple.
Mm-hmm.
And since I can't talk about everything, I just say it's a great thing to click around on the areas you haven't been to before.
Uh-huh. And just sort of let that lead you through the organization and the practice, and you can eventually see pretty much every aspect of what goes on and what people are doing as they do this practice that we all love.
Yeah, and it's a great way to be, you know, just be in touch with it when you can't fly to California or there's no events nearby. It's just a great way to stay in touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to stay grounded in practice, even wherever you are, because, I'm, you know, going along with you. That's the experience I have as I look. It's everything is practice that's in here. It's really fun to be able to, you can actually participate in it in this form.
Yeah, it's amazing resource. As we talk about it, I realize it even more than I did before we started.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for sharing that with us tonight, Marie. And also thank you for all the work that you've put into it. It's very beautiful and very well done. And it really is a terrific resource to have out there.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Okay,
thank
Michael.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
And thank you, Marie. And we'll talk to you soon. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. That was enlightening.
Yes, it was.
It's I love to hear something like that and just really get how much so many people are doing to sustain this practice, to make practice available for all of us.
Yes, we're a lucky bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just a huge variety of activities and support and all of those kinds of things, all right there on that one little website, and it just feels like it goes out from that website and encompasses the world. So.
Yes, there are all the activities, and then someone diligently recording all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or writing about them.
And as mentioned, the team is in Zambia right now, so we're starting to get reports, and they are lit up by what's going on over there. So, more soon.
Great. I can't wait to see the first blog.
Mm-hmm.
clicking away there, clicking refresh, waiting for the first one to appear. Huh? Sherry, I have several events here that you will be starring in.
Hmm.
Open Circle in Berkeley this Sunday, March 20th at 7 p.m.
Right. They're a fun group.
Yes.
Everybody is welcome to join us there.
Great. And then a new email class beginning on April 1st.
Yes.
And people can register on the website for that.
And it is happening, of course, because the first one was so amazing, such an amazing, support. And it just, in my mind, took practice to an entirely new level. So
yeah.
I'm hoping a lot of people who participated in the first one will do this one, and that the folks who heard about it and felt like they missed the boat because they didn't get signed up will have a chance to catch up.
Yes, yes, yes. It's going to be great. And then you'll be at Malaprop's bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina on May 8th at 5 p.m.
True.
And at the end of May, you'll be in Rhinebeck, New York for a weekend, May 27th to 30th. That's at the Omega Institute.
Yes.
And back to California for Spirituality in Business at the Esalen Institute with Mark Lesser.
Hmm.
And that's in beautiful Big Sur.
Yes, it is. I was just there, as a matter of fact, and it is truly beautiful. As a matter of fact, I'm going there this coming Monday again because I have an opportunity to teach all of the folks there about recording and listening.
Oh, wonderful.
Quite excited about that.
That is very exciting. That is great. And then you'll be at Namaste, July 8th and 9th.
Fundraiser for the work in Cantalomba.
Yes, and that's in Felton, California. And then back to the monastery for Not What But How. That's July 16th to the 23rd.
What a busy gal.
Busy gal, and I'm not even done.
Ooh.
And then back to Esalen in August for another weekend workshop. What do these questions have in common?
I don't even know what the questions are. Do you?
Yes, I do. And they're very fun. I don't want to tip my hand.
Don't want to give anything away.
It's all on the website.
There are some fun questions to answer.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, indeed. And we ask folks to stick to one topic tonight if they can, and about 5 minutes.
Hmm.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sherry and Michael. This is Jen calling.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. You sound a little bit kind of down at the end of a tunnel, but you're coming through.
Okay. Is that a little better? I'm trying to speak a little more closely here.
No, we can hear you. It's fine.
Okay. Okay.
What's going on?
So I'm calling in. But partly because I've made a commitment to call every month, so here I am. And also, I wanted to talk about death. I feel like over the years, you have given so many great resources about all kinds of different things, like the Soul of Money book about money and all kinds of different stuff. And I'm really wanting to just, I think, learn more about and kind of make peace with, or whatever one would say, sort of death as a process of life instead of death as something that is fearful and awful and a lot of places that I sort of currently feel about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when my mom and I get together, you know, we're very close and we love getting together, and then we sometimes turn to talking about, you know, unless we go together, then eventually one of us is not going to be a part of this equation of getting together. And we sometimes talk that it would be really nice to I don't know, to like read a book or go through some process or do some kind of work together to maybe give some peace around that process to whoever ends up being left.
Yeah.
So sometimes we've talked about that. And so and now I have a kitty who, one of my kitties has had a form of cancer for a while, and we've been able to kind of stave it off doing a lot of different things for a while now, and it has just recurred. And so I'm poised to fight it off as much as I can, but also wanting to know, you know, where is that place to make peace with it if this is not going to be the time that we're able to, you know, I don't know. I'm just wanting to look at this and wanted to ask for your thoughts about it. So,
well, it's a huge topic, isn't it? Just on, everywhere, as you say, personally, for yourself, for the people that you are going through this lifetime with, or the creatures who share life with us, and of course beyond that, you know, this is one of those times in the world when we're very aware of how fragile life is, how quickly people can go from living a happy, we guess, or a whatever kind of life, but the kind of life that we're living, where there is that intellectual understanding that this isn't going to last forever, but it certainly doesn't feel that way. It feels very spacious, and then in a moment, it's over, either for oneself or for loved ones. So it is big. It's interesting to me that you bring this up, because I was just talking with someone in the Sangha in the last couple of days about this, about kind of preparing oneself. And what we talked about was that years ago, I offered a class to people on kind of preparing in the the content level, you know. So a whole thing on families, loved ones talking to one another about, when I die, I would like it to be this way, you know. This is if I'm injured, I would like this to happen. If it's a terminal illness, I'd like this to happen. When I die, I'd like this to happen. Down to, you know, I want this person to get this, and I want these songs at my memorial service, or, you know, I want whatever it is. And it was really shockingly popular, because it even though it's a subject that most people dread ever having to face, there was such a feeling of comfort, of, you know, so if my loved one dies, I don't have to wonder what would she have wanted me to do. It's all spelled out. And it also, of course, provided an opportunity for some great conversations about all kinds of things like that. And so I suggested that we do it again, and that we do it in the form of an email class. And so that's something that's going to be offered very soon. So that's...
Wow. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's a kind of ask, and you shall receive.
I guess so.
So then, of course, for the other part of it, you know, we really do get into the spiritual aspects and the all of the reasons that we do awareness practice, so that we can face fear, so that we can learn to let go, and essentially turn our lives over to life, so that we can have that real realization that life doesn't belong to me. I'll be alive for as long as it's life's choice that I be alive, and all I can do, all that's really available to me, is to enjoy this life as much as possible, be as much of a contribution to life as is possible, and be ready to let go graciously when it's time to let go, to feel complete with life.
Yeah, that's really what I'm wanting, and I'm feeling so pulled to look in this direction because it feels like it's just that it sort of has to follow, like looking at kind of death and the end of life would also then kind of, it feels like, require one to also look at being, you know, realizing how you don't want to waste your life listening to conditioning and really being as present as possible to the amazing gift that it is while you're here, and then being able to let it go. And I think that's really what I'm wanting to practice with.
Yes. And, of course, you are practicing with that. What's happening now, I would project, is that you're bringing conscious awareness to exactly what it is that you're practicing. So practice has just gotten much broader. So there's, you know, I want to be the best person I can be. I want to live from loving kindness. I want to be peaceful. I want to be a contribution. I want to love unconditionally, you know, these kinds of things. And then, which is what we're practicing, right? That is what our practice is. And we run into everything that keeps us from being that or living that or doing that. And now you've expanded it into, I want to live so much that way that each moment of life is complete in and of itself. So that old expression of the person who awakens, in this case, to her authentic nature in the morning, doesn't mind dying in the afternoon. So when we realize what is actually going on here, that the idea of ourselves as separate from life is the identity that we've been conditioned to believe ourselves to be, that is an illusion, that what we really are is an expression of life, a form of life, in the same way that everything else is a form of life, and our sense of ourselves becomes life rather than an ego identity, then dying becomes a completely different proposition. Because what you get is, it's not possible to die. All that will happen is that a form will cease to exist as that form. That's not at all the same thing as dying. You with me?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think so, kind of. And I want to be aware of the time so that everyone else gets a chance to consider all these amazing things too. So this gives me a lot to look at, and I'm really excited about the email class. And I just thank you. It's amazing to have a space to be able to consider all of this and get this support.
Yes, and I applaud you for moving in this direction, because that's one of the things that I personally would wish for people in doing practice, is not to stay in that trap that almost everyone is in, of believing that this is somehow magically going to go on forever, and then when it comes to an end, feeling angry or bitter or resentful because it happened the way it always was going to happen. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes. It's very good.
Absolutely.
And especially when you're talking about someone who's getting older. We all know that, you know, that death doesn't just happen to old people. That would kind of be a wonderful thing if it went that way. But it doesn't. And so, you know, facing that reality is also very helpful. But when we are talking about people that we love who are getting older, then we really want to bring conscious awareness to having a completed relationship in every moment. It's just intelligent.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I'm just so grateful for the practice.
Yeah, me too, Jen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
Have
night.
A great rest of the show.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, how are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So glad. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to say that was beautiful, what you were saying about death. And I'm so excited to hear about the email class. I'll look forward to that.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. You know, because, again, you know, most people would go anywhere to avoid that subject. So I'm glad to hear people in the Sangha being enthusiastic about it. It's just such a kindness for ourselves and everyone we love and the people who love us.
Yes, and it just feels like it calms these fears that conditioning can stir up so easily.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually calling in to report back on something.
Great.
Yeah. So do you remember about a year ago, we had a conversation about sex, and you said, and I was talking about how I was all sad and thinking I was never going to have another relationship, and you encouraged me to look at what the karma is behind the story, behind that this story was really hiding a bunch of karma, that's what you were pointing me at.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last couple of months, I've seen the karma behind it. What this is all designed to do, keeping me preoccupied on relationships and all this kind of stuff, is it's designed to keep me small. And feeling like what anything that happens or doesn't happen is my fault, and this ongoing commentary on about managing my energy, really, and about managing what attention I do or do not get, you know, and I just saw it in a really powerful way when I, it doesn't matter necessarily what happened, but I just saw how I shrink, you know, and it took me right back to these patterns from childhood and from my teenage years, and I just shrink, and it just hit me, oh, this is what this is all about.
Uh-huh. Oh, and isn't it good to see?
It is wonderful to see, because, you know, it feels like I stepped into so much, I hesitate to use this word for some reason, but it feels like I stepped into so much power.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Like
as a synonym for freedom.
Yeah, as a synonym for freedom, because no matter what comes my way, I feel like it's I'm okay. I'm totally adequate to handle it. You know, I'm just totally adequate.
Yes.
It's the best feeling.
So, if we, and I project that your experience is something along these lines, if we look at life, everything that happens in life, as an opportunity, recognize something that needs to be healed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's stuck in a painful, suffering place that needs to be released. And the way to release that is through compassionate acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is nothing that we won't welcome into our lives.
Yeah, you know, that is the process of life. I mean, the most joyous way, because I saw how the recording practice has been helping cultivate that attitude in me.
Yeah.
And there's this one particular recording that I made a while back that is just affirming that I'm learning that no matter what happens, I can turn to myself. That the wisdom, the answers, the guidance, all of that is really here within me. And I even said at one point in the recording, I said, in fact, in probably most rooms that you're going to be in, you're probably the most well-equipped person for whatever arises, you know, because I can just project that not a lot of people are aware of this. You know, not a lot of people are doing this kind of. And so it does bring oneself a sense of freedom that, you know, bring it on, life, whatever. You know, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yes, and bring it on, life, in the sense that I'm fine. You don't need to worry about me. I can help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the line that's crossed, right? From oh God, life, don't give me anything else hard because I'm just barely hanging on as it is, to I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Turn your attention to somebody, who really needs assistance because I'm doing fine. And in fact, I'd like to offer my assistance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That's the line. I keep watching these scenes from Japan, and I've noticed that I've been projecting this wonderful generosity on all these people that are doing the rescuing, and they just don't ever stop. They just keep serving and keep giving and keep looking for the survivors, you know, and it's just in the midst of all that, you know, what could be, all, you know, all that pain is just this heroic service.
Yeah.
And that's the place that we can all live from.
Yes, yes. And as we were talking about before, we can't do anything about the earthquakes.
Yeah.
But we can certainly respond with loving kindness and compassion and attention and that recognition of our shared vulnerability and just one.
Yeah. Well, I just love it when a big piece of karma kind of falls away and I can see, and I just had to call in and say, there's a little bit more space there now, and it really was, it's just taken time, and looking and guidance along the way and all of this practice, but my goodness, it really works, doesn't it?
It does, and it's always that experience of, struggle, and then let it go, and the relief, the joy of it, and that sense of, and maybe this kind of ties in with what we were talking about with Jen too, that feeling of just getting lighter and lighter and lighter with each piece of karma that we allow to drop off.
Uh-huh.
Just
uh-huh.
More comfortable with life, easy with life, accepting, knowing that there's nothing that's going to happen to me that's a bad thing. There might be things that I have a karma not to want or to dislike, but all of those are there to assist in my liberation.
Yeah, and the content of any of it doesn't even really matter. The content could be anything. We can just see through it all at any, it's just beautiful.
It is. It's my favorite yes, please, thank you, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, to me, that's just the place that it's possible to live from all the time. And all the work that we're doing is continuing to position ourselves in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yes, please. I love you. Good night.
Amen. Well, good night. Have a nice show.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that light in Texas is a little bit brighter now, huh?
It is. It is. Very good.
And we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael and Sherry. This is George.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled to get on. I called late, and it's, I think Dave called it Zen Roulette. You never know if you're going to pop up or onto the air or not. But
that's right. It's as we've been talking, right? We never know anything. We assume we do, we think we do, we wish we did, but the reality is anything can happen at any moment.
Well, that's for sure. And that's good start for my issue tonight, and that is that recently I've had some serious physical issues that have come up for me. One of them around the heart, another one around the digestive system.
Wait, George. I had trouble hearing you there. One what?
One a heart issue, and the other one, I think, a digestive issue. And one of them kind of serious, and definitely brings up the subject of, the realization that, death is not something that can be avoided. And the other one, there's a lot of pain with it. And with both of them, there's a loss of energy, such that it's almost like I'm not who I used to be, which, of course, we never are. But thank goodness for this practice, because otherwise I think I would be really in bad mental, emotional shape over this. But so the practice has really helped tremendously. But there are two two conditions, I guess you might say, that I get in that I have difficulty with, and I'll just talk about one of them, the one that I have the most problems with, and that is a feeling of a state of victimhood,
of what?
Resentment,
uh-huh.
Anger,
yeah,
frustration, because you know here it is springtime, and I've been a gardener and a farmer for years, and now, you know, I can't begin to do what I did just last year, that's doesn't look like it's going to change. At least medical science has no way of making a change, and I'm, you know, of course, not giving up on that. I'm looking for other ways, but. So what happens is that this feeling of victimhood, anger, frustration, resentment comes up. You know, why me? The why me? You know, this shouldn't be happening. This is not fair. I'm feeling angry about this, and it of course that is not helpful at all, and it takes away any of the, you know, the good feelings of just, you know, being at peace, being, you know, grateful, being all of those things. It's just the opposite of that. And so I find that I fall into that and I see it and yet it's like this suction, this karmic suction that just, you know, it's pulls me into it, and I do manage to climb out pretty much every day, but there's a part of the day that's just taken away by that, and so that's.
Let me ask you this, George. do you do the recording and listening practice?
Yes.
Okay. Because
that's been tremendously helpful.
Yeah, and I'm going to suggest that that's going to be your best ally, because you do know what's going on, don't you? Intellectually,
I do know what's going on. I really do.
Yeah, that's the same process that's been torturing you all your life. It's just now got this piece of content. And so it's going to suck the life force out of you with this piece of content.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So to me, it's just really helpful to know that. And for me, and I'll just offer this to you, and you can, you know, choose to try it or reject it, and let me know either way. But. When that, I choose not to indulge that sort of thing. You know, it's just horse pucky. There's no way that people like us can feel like victims. It's just crap, right? So, to lay it on the line there that, we're not going in this direction. It's just nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you have access to medical science the way you do is all the proof that anybody would need that there's nothing victimizing going on here. And so, so to take that energy then and use it for yourself, because that's a lot of energy that gets sucked into being angry and resentful and it's not fair, and to take that life force for yourself and turn it into doing the things that you enjoy most in this life for whatever life is left to you, which is what we ought to all be doing all the time, whether any medical person
yeah.
has given us bad news or not.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, to maybe buy yourself another recorder that is devoted to all the good things that there are, all, everything to be thankful for, all the blessings, all the beautiful
mm-hmm.
things I can see, what I love most about
mm-hmm.
life, and not lose
mm-hmm.
sight of that conversation for a second.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we get, I mean, a lot of folks would say, well, but, you know, don't you need to grieve this? Well, not really. Not really. Because it's doubtful, you know, anything authentic, anybody real is actually not going to waste time, not going to want to waste time with somebody ranting and raving about what a bad deal it is. The person, the authentic person,
mm-hmm.
is going to want to be there taking it all in and enjoying it all and figuring out ways to enjoy it
yeah.
more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Well, that's what I needed to hear.
Yeah, don't let them con you. Don't let them scam you, but especially now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's
okay.
as specific as, you know, I've been a gardener all my life. Now I can't garden the way I once did. Well, good. Then it's a perfect opportunity for me to enjoy everybody else's garden.
Yeah.
Right? I
yeah.
think about Thoreau talking
yeah.
about, you know, instead of spending his life trying to buy property and coming up with the money to do that and then paying taxes on it and trying
yeah.
to, you know, he would just walk around and he would look at these beautiful places and he would enjoy them and then he would remember that he didn't have to do any upkeep on them at all. And he would just go back
yeah.
to his little house and be happy.
Right. It wasn't an ego thing. He wasn't caught in the illusion of separation, so he could enjoy everything, no matter who owned it or didn't own it or whatever.
Exactly so.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we don't need to own it, it all belongs to us.
Yeah. yeah. Very good. Perfect.
Thank you, George.
Take
care of yourself.
Thank you, Sherry. Yeah. I will do. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
Bye.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
This from Living Compassion.
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market,
where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi there, Sherry. This is Tanya from Toronto.
Ooh. Who is
Hello?
This?
Sorry, this is Tanya from Toronto.
Tanya. Good evening.
Tanya, yes. Can you hear me this evening?
I'm having a little trouble. I might ask you to repeat something, but I think we're going to be okay.
Okay, well, my name is Tanya, and I'm calling from Toronto, and sorry about the connection. I just am dealing with one thing in particular right now, and I was wondering if you could just comment on it. I made some drastic changes in my life, and now I've left a lot of things over the past couple of years, and now I'm alone. Quite alone, actually. And self-hate and all the voices are busy telling me that I deserve to be alone because I'm such a horrible person.
Hmm.
And I don't quite know how to fight those voices. And I was wondering if you could help me, please.
Well, it is something that a conversation that I'm somewhat passionate about. Yes. So the first thing, of course, that... You haven't done the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, have you?
No, I have not.
Okay, so get on our website, pick one out, put that on your calendar, okay? Because that's probably the best way in the world to get on the other side of those voices. Have you started doing the recording and listening practice?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm very scared to do it. I feel a lot of resistance. I tried it once, and there's just so much resistance to it.
Okay.
So, no.
So here's what you can know. The resistance is what it feels like when karmic conditioning has taken you over.
Okay.
Do you have a sense of what I mean by that?
Well, I think from reading your books, it means that it's dominating my thoughts, so I'm not present.
Yes. So there's a part of you who wants to go up against the voices, who, you know, is is tired of suffering and tired of being beaten up, okay? And so you get your recorder and you pick it up, and there's this huge rush of, no! Okay? And so that is it, in big capital letters. That's it, attempting to use fear to control your behavior. So, of course, it's very invested in you not getting rid of it. Because right now, you're a service station for it. And it's taking all your life force and... So it's a good deal for it and a really bad deal for you. So what's going to be required, I wish that there were an easier way, but there isn't. What's going to be required is for you to pick up that recorder and start your practice in spite of what it's saying. Now, here's a really important point to keep in mind. It can't do anything to you. All it can do is talk to you. It can call you names. It can tell you scary stories. It can remind you of things that you regret from your past. It can try to convince you that the future is going to be horrible. But it can't do anything to you. Do you get that?
I'm a little unclear on that I was just a little unclear on the doing anything to me because it makes me cry. Is that not doing anything? Isn't that doing something to me?
The only thing it can do to you is what you cooperate with. In other words, it can't put hands around your neck and strangle you. It can't put a pillow over your face. It can't, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So all it can do is say mean, horrible things to you. And as long as you believe those things, as long as you think you should listen to that voice or that it has some truth, then you will feel bad. But
yes,
you have to cooperate in order for it to do what it does to you.
Okay.
So if there's a bully, the only way the bully can be successful is if you're afraid of it.
Okay.
Is this true so far in your experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what needs to happen is, and let's take another piece of this. The person who's listening to that hateful stuff is not a grown-up. Can you sense that?
Absolutely. Yes, I feel very childlike.
Yes. So
that no one likes me.
The hateful.
I'm not allowed to play with everyone else.
That, yeah. So the hateful voice talks to a little child in you, and the little child feels bad, gets scared, cries. Okay. So what's going to happen? What has to happen for this to change? Is for you, grown up, centered person, person who picked up the phone and called in, person who bought the books, person who has done everything that you've done to try to turn your life around. That person needs to make a commitment to protect that little child. Yeah? And the way that can happen, did you want to say something? No, nope. We're good. Okay. The way that one of say it again.
Sorry, go on.
One of the best tools that you have for taking care of her is to start this recorded relationship. Do you have a copy of what you practice is what you have?
I do not have that one.
Okay, then put that on your list of things to get, okay? And it's going to guide you through starting a mentoring relationship with the young person who gets beaten up and is afraid and sad. And so she'll talk to you about what's going on. She'll talk into the recorder about feeling bad and feeling sad and whatever the feelings are. And that grown-up part of you is going to reassure her and commit to taking care of her. And what you're going to do is make that conversation between the grown-up centered part of you and the little child so all-consuming that there's no room for those hateful voices to get to that child.
So when I do recordings, I'm not too sure what I'm supposed to be saying on the recordings.
Okay. There are two things. There are two things that you can do with the recordings. There are a lot more than that, but just two things to start out with. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that you can do is to let the part of you who is upset and afraid talk to you. Now, not the person, not the voices of self-hate. If they get a hold of you and they start talking into the recorder, you just hit delete, hit stop, whatever. But it's that little child, okay, who feels bad, who's being beaten up. So she can talk to you about being afraid, feeling bad, that sort of thing. You'll listen to her talk to you, and that grown-up part, the centered part, will then respond to her. And it'll be things like, I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to take care of you. It's okay. The voices lie. It's not true. What they're saying to you is a lie. And who you really are is this. Okay? You are lovable and you're sweet and you're good. And I'm going to help you know that, and we're going to live a life that proves that. Okay, so that's one kind of conversation that you can have. The other kind of conversation is a little bit what I was talking about with George, where you just simply focus on all of the good things that exist in your life. Everything you love, everything you're grateful for, everything that's beautiful, everything that has ever happened to you that you can be happy about, okay? And you just focus on that via the recording. And you make those recordings, and then you listen to those recordings. And what you're doing in listening to those recordings is blocking out access for those voices to talk their cruelty to that young child. Can you picture
that? So you're saying that when the voices, okay, right now, for example, are very heavy, this is the time to get on those recordings?
All
so
the time.
So it's blocking them out?
Yes, all the time is the time to be listening to the recording. All the time. At this point, because it's, would you call where you are now kind of a crisis?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got two broken arms, you want to get yourself to the emergency room, right? And because it's a crisis.
Yeah.
And that's where you are now. So this is an emergency situation, and you want to approach it that way. You don't want to wait until the voices have beaten you to the point that you're crying, right? It's you don't want to leave a child in an abusive situation until the child is abused again. You want to get that child out of the abusive situation and start giving her a different life experience, a loving, kind life experience. So you are recording and listening, talking with her, reassuring her, caring for her all the time.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. I will try that.
Yes, and the more resistance you run into, the more you can know you're on the right track. Because those voices only freak out like that when there's a danger that they're going to lose access to you and lose their access to that child and abusing her.
So it's obviously not going to be an easy road.
Say that again?
I said in that sense, it's a very hard road. I mean, the voices get stronger as you make progress.
Yes, yes, they will. But the good news is, they can only last so long, and you can last way, 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 way longer.
So you go away, right?
Say it again. I'm sorry. The rain started where I am, and it's just pounding on the roof. And so what little ability I had to hear is rapidly diminishing. So what did you say?
I just commented that it hopefully, did the voices actually go away at some point?
No, not in my experience. I mean, they would be right there willing to come back in at any point. But your relationship with them will change such that they're irrelevant.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you're in just the way we've been talking about it, your relationship with that little girl will become so strong and solid and supportive and loving and fun and playful and delightful that there's no room for those voices any longer. They just really clearly sound like the miserable, hateful, unhappy entities that they are. And you know, it becomes clear that they don't want to be helped. They don't want compassion. They don't want to be freed from this. They want to suck the life out of somebody. And you just become unwilling to give them that option.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Thank you for your encouragement, Sherry, and for this practice.
You are very welcome. Yes, let me know, please.
I will. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tanya. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's 6 o'clock.
Wow. Well, the rain waited until, what, 2 minutes till 6 or something, and now it is just really excited to turn loose. So
wow.
Timing is perfect.
And thank you for that inspiring encouragement to Tanya. That was great.
Well, sometimes we forget that we actually are the stronger in this equation. And so it is good to remind ourselves once in a while.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.